Good morning and welcome to the Bible Study. I'm Chuck Rathert. It's just an average, ordinary summer Wednesday, but it is a thrilling day indeed. Why? Because today we're going to read chapter 1 in the book of Ephesians. Now, if you're one of those people who think that Christianity is one of the three, or maybe these days four, great religions that we have here in our cultures, if when you think about religion, the three great world religions, Christianity, Islam, and perhaps Buddhism, then you're probably going to be pretty disappointed by the time this hour is over. Because I think it's correct to say that those people who lump Christianity into that group or any of the other major disciplines tend to think of Christianity as a morality religion. It's a way of life. It's how we discipline ourselves. It tells us what is right. It tells us what is wrong. And ultimately, by extension, it tells us what we have to do in order to someday get to heaven. Well, Ephesians is not about that. And if that's what you think Christianity is, then this will either be a perplexing or puzzling program, or perhaps even an enlightening one. Let's talk about Ephesians chapter 1 today with Pastor Mark Hawkinson. He is pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in New Haven. Good morning, sir, and welcome to the
program. Good morning, Chuck. It's wonderful to be here. It's a gorgeous day outside, and just a privilege to be on board to be able to discuss some of the things that are located in Chapter 1 of Ephesians. Very exciting.
I often wonder what it is that we might be able to do to get you excited about being on the radio talking about the Bible.
Well,
I have never failed to come to this program without a high level of energy and excitement.
You'd have to give me a sedative to reduce the... it's very exciting to be on AMA 50 KFUO and to be able to have the privilege of discussing the Word of God, sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel, that's what's exciting. You do it every day. I have the privilege of coming in once a month with you and being able to share it with the people here on the Bible study. Very
exciting. Now, be honest with me. I don't know. Did you have an assignment when we did the book of Ezekiel? Did you mm-hmm. participate in that?
Yeah, sure did.
Mm-hmm. Let's just say, for example, it was Ezekiel 8. Which would you rather do? Be honest with me. Ephesians 1 or Ezekiel 8?
Oh, come on. What kind of a question is... Well, I don't know. I mean, they both have their, good points, and I don't know. Probably, Ephesians. Probably.
Why?
Well, because Paul was talking, I know it has more of a general content than did Colossians, which was addressing a specific problem.
You mean
and
Galatians?
Galatians. Well, no, I'm referring to also Colossians as well, because that was one of the circular letters. But Ephesians, Galatians was the Judaizers. And you talked yesterday a little bit about the Judaizers.
Right.
Having to conform to certain ceremonial laws before they would be accepted and all of that. Paul spoke against that. But the gospel, the good news about Jesus comes through so clear. This is all about Jesus. Ephesians is all about Christ, who he is, what he did, and the church, the church is.
Do you think it would be correct to say that a pastor or a theologian mm-hmm. who traces his doctrine, his theology, what he teaches to the Reformation, gets a little more animated, gets a little more excited when given the opportunity to talk about Ephesians?
Oh, yeah, sure, because, of course, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, that famous passage comes out. So whoever has that is going to be pretty happy about that, too, as they get to the gospel in a nutshell.
It's going to be Pastor Warren Worth.
All right.
That's going to be tomorrow.
Pastor Worth, okay.
He has that good fortune.
Pastor Warren, all right.
The book of Ephesians has a different tone, different quality than the book of Galatians? Yes, no?
The letter is more general, and that's why there's argument among scholars. I was doing some reading about this, Chuck, and they argue about it. Now, was this a circular letter?
Was it
written to all several different areas, several different churches.
Intended to be circular.
Yeah, and more general. Yeah, right, and more general in nature. Written while Paul was in prison in Rome. Now, that's one theory. Another theory was written at another time and another place specifically for the Ephesians. And I thought about it and thought about it. And I say, look, I'm going on the air on AMA 50 KFUO. I got to come to some conclusion. What do I think? Do I think this was A or B? I choose B. I don't know why. Yeah, I have a couple of reasons. Well,
B is what position?
B is the position that I think Paul did write it to the Ephesians. It was designed to bolster their faith, to enliven it, enrich it, as Paul said, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, and to give God glory. I personally think that it was written to the Ephesians, but I can't prove it, and neither can any scholar. There's not a scholar alive today. I don't care how many PhDs they have. You can't prove. You can't tell for sure.
We have a Christian day school at the church where I am a member, and I remember one time encountering a couple. All my kids have gone through that school. They've all graduated. They're out of elementary school, middle school. But I encountered a younger couple whose children were in the school, and I think, to put the best construction on it, that they were trying to make a positive, favorable comment, knowing that I had had children go through the school. And so the way they praised the school was, you know, we chose to send our kids to the Lutheran school, the implication being at some expense because there is tuition involved, because we wanted them to learn the difference between right and wrong. We wanted them to get a good moral construct in their young lives that would serve them later.
And many do say that. I know my home congregation in Louisville, Kentucky, Chuck, also has an 8th grade Christian day school, and I've heard that very same argument. You can understand where parents are coming from. It's all about morals and values. Morals and values. All right, let's bring our children up right. Let's let them know the difference between right and wrong. But that's not what a Christian day school is all about. That's
what?
The byproduct, but not, that's not the purpose and the origin of the gospel, the gospel that originates in God. It all originates in Christ, and the result of it is that people will want to have good morals and values, not to get into heaven, but simply to respond, to say thank you to God for all that he's done through Christ.
I found my way to the Lutheran church at, I guess, about age 23. So I've been in the Lutheran church for over 25 years. In that, let's see, I'm 51, so really, it's...
You're 51, you're kidding.
No, I'm not.
No, you look like, and I'm not brown-nosing here, I mean, you look like... Why? I'd have no reason to brown-nose. I'm just telling the truth. You look like you're in your mid-40s.
Oh, well, God bless
less.
You, sir.
Yeah, all right.
That's just what
That's
I need to
That's worth at
hear
least
today.
A lunch sometime, isn't
put
it?
Put a little Grecian formula on, maybe I can break 40 and get down to my 30s again.
All right, okay.
Here's the question. I was in the Lutheran church for a long time. I'm going to say over 10 years before I understood the things, before I got a handle on the things that I would say now are very core Reformation doctrinal truths. Now, I want you to shoot straight with me here. I know
okay,
that you're
okay.
a nice guy, and you're going to try to sugarcoat this a little bit.
Probably. I probably will, yeah.
Was I just stupid? Was it just laying there in front of me for 10, 12, 15 years, and I was just stupid? Or is that experience that I had common?
Unfortunately, you want me to talk straight? Okay. Unfortunately, I'm afraid it's pretty common. Now, of course, you're not stupid. Anybody that's listened to you on the Bible study knows a lot better than that. You ask the best questions of anybody I've ever seen. I find this in every congregation I go to. People that are not involved in Bible study regularly do not understand the basic gospel of Jesus Christ and do not understand the rich life they could have spiritually if they would get in the Word of God. And as far as the Reformation goes, I mean, if you were to take a survey among many congregational members, they would still come out in favor of work righteousness. I still think I have to do something. I've got to do something.
Well, in my case, I was involved in Bible study. I was even involved in teaching youth Bible study and things like that. So it wasn't because I had not opened myself up to that. I was really kind of up to my eyeballs in that kind of thing. But still, many years went by, over 10, where I did not understand, did not grasp the fundamental truths that we're going to read here in Ephesians chapter 1 today.
Okay, so you did not come through a junior confirmation class?
Well, I had an adult confirmation.
You had adult confirmation.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Well,
Which was several weeks.
Not to blame the pastor there or anything. Certainly can't do that. Don't know the situation, but that should have come out in your instruction.
That's my point, Mark.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, it did. It was there.
Sure.
He taught it. The teaching wasn't the problem. I mean, we went through Luther's Small Catechism, which is the common way of doing this. And all the doctrines are there, and they're laid out there in a fairly simple fashion. The teaching wasn't the problem. I was the problem because I had a moral predisposition about what Christianity was, or I had a kind of a modern American evangelical predisposition. In other words, I was listening to the radio and hearing the prosperity preachers, and I was trying to sort my way through all that. I had all kinds of obstacles.
Sure.
And actually, I found it a little bit frustrating with you Lutheran pastors sometimes, because you understand this pretty well. Oh, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, there it is, you know, and look at it. Now, don't you understand it? Sit down, get out of the way.
Simple as pie.
As pie. Not if you have obstacles in the way that make it hard to see.
Your background. Yeah, sure.
And now pastors tell me that they've got people coming to them looking for perhaps membership, coming to adult inquiry classes from every denomination imaginable, coming from different experiences, from non-denominations, from no Christian experience at all. Boy, it's quite a melting pot of people who are coming, and they need to get this message, which we're going to begin to share today. And I just wish, because I know we're talking to at least one person who can't get around their major obstacle to see what, here it says, let me just read this to you in my study Bible. It says, Lutheran theologians express the gospel by three phrases: by grace, through faith, on account of Christ. And all God's people nod their heads, but not all God's people know what that means or understand what it means. And it says right in the very next sentence, but some may view faith as a work of the believer. And that's where the problems begin. And when we get done talking about Ephesians, I'd like to think that at least one person had the light bulb go on.
Very good.
And was released from the bondage of that. That's my hope anyway.
And by the power of the Holy Spirit, who enlightens the eyes of the heart, that's very possible. With God, all things are possible.
All right, that puts us in a perfect position to pray here as we begin our study of Ephesians. And our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, Pastor Hawkinson.
Gracious God, thank you for the privilege of being able to be here today and to be able to share the good news about Jesus with Chuck, and Chuck also with me and with the those listeners tuned in today. I pray, and we pray together, that the eyes of their hearts might be enlightened, that they might understand that there are no strings attached. There's no way to say it any other way than that. It's a free gift. There's nothing that the listener can do that's earned or deserved that can merit everlasting life. It's totally, purely the favor and the grace of you, Heavenly Father. May that message come through clearly in this Bible study. We pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Here's the first predisposition that I want to address before we read verses 1 through 14. Because if you hold this predisposition, then that obstacle will prevent or impede you from being able to understand what Paul is saying here. In various forms, this may not exactly be your experience, but in various forms, people believe generally, many people, that mothers and fathers, based on their own will, decide to have children. Those children appear on the earth by the will of man. And then it is up to those children to find their way to God through a variety of experiences, through a variety of struggles, through a variety of wins and losses, but to climb that holy mountain against all odds and finally come to that point where in death they hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the dynamic there is a kind of a passive God sitting on a high mountain, watching the children crawl up the mountain, ready to bless those who through their own determination and will make it to the top. There are, I contend that there are Christians whose Christianity resembles something like that.
Excellent. Very, very good, Chuck. I you're right on with that. The thing is, the gospel is Jesus has already come down the mountain. He came down the mountain, died on the cross, and he's the one who takes us up. We don't climb. He's already done that for us. And our life is response. It's all response to what God has done.
So let's put an
gratitude.
Let's put an exclamation point on that. When it comes to me standing before God at some point in the future and hearing the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," it will be because of God's activity, God's initiative, God's movement, God's work, period.
Yeah, you've heard the expression a few years ago, keep the faith, baby. Well, God is the one who gives you the power to do that. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the power that keeps that faith alive in you and me every day.
Let's read these first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory.
Boy, these are exciting words. I mean, man, there's so much meat in here we could talk all day about. I mean, it's very exciting. Paul identifies himself as an apostle right there. So in other words, listen up. This is God's
I've been sent
one.
To tell you this.
Right, by the will of God. So, and then to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So they are to listen up. So I believe that this was not my personal opinion. This was not a circular letter. I believe it was written specifically to the Ephesians, even though it is of a general nature.
So the plan of God is contained here. And the plan of God is something like whatever and whoever God is, before he said, "Let there be light," in Genesis 1, he had in his mind, or whatever it is that he has, the people of God that he was going to bring home forever to live with him. He knew you then. He knew me by name then. This was all, the text here uses the word predestined. This is all established in the mind of God before Genesis 1:1. Is that correct?
That's right. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, God told the psalmist to write. And so we know that Psalm 139 talks about that. So, yeah, even before anything was created, he already knew you and knew exactly what he knew what the plan for his life, for your life, would be through Christ in advance from eternity. So that helps a person out, Chuck, who's struggling in their lives, perhaps in their career, with their job or with their family, that no matter how tough things might seem to be, that God has a plan that he's going to work out in that situation, and that you're part of that plan. And just hang in there, because God is going to work it out.
And I guess this may sound a little elementary, maybe even a little silly, but I suppose there are some of us who are Christians who are in the midst of some turmoil or trouble, and we just don't understand what's going on. And our picture of God is one who sort of gets up in the morning with us and looks at what we're up to and puts his hands on his hips and says, "Oh, Chuck, I'm going to have to get involved with, you know, pull him out of the jaws of the alligator again today." What was he thinking? It's not like that?
No, it's not like that. It's not like your college-age son or daughter. Their funds, their money all runs out, so they call Dad up and say, "Hey, Dad, I have no money. Bail me out. Rescue me." You know, it's not like that. No, God is involved. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And as you stick close to Him through His precious word, remember, in James it says, draw near to God. The promise is He will draw near to you. So stick close to Him. His plan will be revealed. The eyes of your heart will be enlightened to see the mystery of His will, which is the gospel, the good news. And that keeps you close to Him, and that keeps you in His will and not out of it.
So the chosen people, those people identified in verse 11, in Him we were also chosen, those chosen people are not being chosen now. They're not being evaluated on a daily basis now, chosen and rejected now based on how well we're climbing up the mountain. They were chosen before Genesis 1:1.
By God's grace, purely God's grace, no merit, no worthiness in you. And Chuck, you just can't reconcile, and people are always trying to do this. They try to reconcile John 3:16. For God so loved the world, you know the verse, that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, with this, that some are chosen. Well, if that's the case, then how can it be that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? The answer is, now we see through a glass darkly. We don't understand all of these things about God. But the doctrine of predestination, or the fact that we were chosen in Christ, is a doctrine of comfort for the Christian. We get great comfort from that.
What would you say to somebody who, at a kind of an elementary level, would say, "Well, this is not consistent with my experience"? Because I was 30 years. I didn't go to church. I had no connection with the church. And through a great deal of adversity and trouble in my life, I began to seek answers. And I actually began to look for God. And I have to tell you, it wasn't easy. But I finally found Him. And when I found Him, I chose Him. For you to tell me that He chose me before the foundation of the world is not quite consistent with my experience.
Well, there's a Latin phrase, Chuck, experientia docet, which simply means, or freely translated, experience is the best teacher. Well, that just refers to practically living out your life. But practically living out your life isn't going to discover God. You're not going to find God, because there are all kinds of, you know, man by nature doesn't even want to locate, and can't by nature locate, the true God. God must find us, and He finds us through His Word, through His blessed Word and sacraments. That's it, through the church. Oh, that's the whole point. The church is Christ's body. We fill Christ up, Christ fills us up. And that's the purpose of the church. That's the purpose of your congregation, is to get out that message so that God finds people.
You know, what would you say to the person who says, "This is a little discouraging to me, because I actually, based on the activity of my life, I have been asked to speak and address various churches and groups, telling them about my arduous search and struggle to find God and choose Him. I do this in a motivational way, and now you're kind of telling me that that didn't even really happen. I'm sorry, but that's not my experience." Let's talk about
it
on the other side. Stay
with me.
Bible Study is supported by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people with resources for church, school, and home, Bible studies and commentaries for lay people and clergy, sheet music and reproducible activities for choir members and Sunday school teachers, an expanded children's department, and gift shop. Whether you're a pastor, parent, educator, or church worker, you can count on Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people, and underwriting the Bible Study on Inspirational Christian Radio, AM 850 KFUO.
Are you looking for a fun place this summer to take the kids or the grandkids? Pack a picnic dinner, grab a blanket or a lawn chair, and take your family to Tower Grove Park for a series of free concerts. Maybe begin at 7 in the evening on Thursday nights in July. Young Audiences of St. Louis provides the music. Children are encouraged to dance and participate during the performance, and the Ladybug Truck will be there to sell snow cones. The family concerts are held at the Outdoor Whitaker Theater, located just behind the waiting pool on Center Cross Drive. For more information, call Tower Grove Park.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? I've always been a tyrannical preaching supervisor for seminary students. You see, long before I became a preacher myself, communication science was what I studied in college. Now, I'm just convinced that someone who speaks off of a manuscript in front of him has just placed an understanding barrier between himself and his listeners. Even if it is nonverbal, there's always dialogue going on between a speaker and his listeners, and a manuscript robs both the speaker and the listener of that dialogue. Just to make my point, I watched one student attempt to look up from his papers as often as he could as he was preaching. The class observed along with me that he did his best job at prompting us to listen to him when he was telling a story. I believe that it was at a similar crucial time in the public ministry of Jesus when he began to teach using stories called parables. St. Matthew then tells us, "All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables, indeed he said nothing to them without a parable." Parables are tricky stories. As Jesus himself explained to his disciples, "To you has been given to know the secret kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now, God doesn't employ communication techniques to speak to us, does he? Oh, he doesn't. He not only employs them, he is their master. That's just why I get so testy when some preachers contend that God doesn't know or care about such techniques or business practices or about our passions. Are they kidding? The Lord knows all of these disciplines better than we do because he created them. Lord, rather than send us away from the evil influences of our world, you sent us out into the world to redeem it. Redeem our world through us, as you create new life within us. For we pray in the name of our risen and reigning Lord Jesus, who has made us into a new creation. Amen.
In this busy, technologically saturated world, it's hard sometimes to get your message through to people. This is a reminder of the fastest, easiest way to lodge your opinion, ask your question, or offer a suggestion regarding our programming. At www.kfuo.org, you'll find a department called Contact. It's in the upper left-hand corner. Click that and find the information you need to contact us by phone or by email. And there are pictures, too, at kfuo.org.
All right, we're back in our Bible study talking about Ephesians chapter 1. My name is Chuck Rathert. Pastor Mark Hawkinson is here with us. Before we got to the end of the break, we were talking about the person whose experience, I mean, it feels like them in the context of their reality. And this is very important because every other phase of life is based on experience. Put your hand on the stove, you learn a lesson there. If you want to be a superior athlete, you spend hours and hours in the weight room and hours in the practice field. That's how you get there. And you transfer that over into the area of religion, and the one-to-one correspondence would be achieving heaven is the most difficult task. It requires the most discipline. It requires the most focus and energy. And for somebody who spent maybe all their life, 10, 20, 30, 40 years working for that goal, to suddenly hear from you or me doesn't count.
There's got to be a catch.
Doesn't count for 1 cent toward getting to the top of the mountain. Sorry, doesn't count. They don't give that up very easily. Have you noticed that?
It's embedded. It's part of their psyche. I mean, it's in almost innate. And it's very difficult to accept or, let's use the word, receive that glorious message because it just sounds too good to be true. But the thing is, it is true. Just like the resurrection of Jesus. It sounds too good to be true. But the fact is, it is true.
So then, confronted with that obstacle, that difficulty, as I said, sometimes I think pastors who trace their theology to the Reformation, thanks to seminary training and thanks to pastoral ministry and experience, this is so clear to them that they look at those of us who can't see it or don't understand it very well, and they just can't understand why can't you see this? It's so obvious.
Chuck, I had the opportunity on my vicarage to minister or make a lot of calls at the University of Texas, go door-to-door evangelism, and I was able to talk. And I think there is some merit. There's something to be said for individuals that are searching. I talk to a lot of people that are searching. They're looking. And it's hard for them, just as you said, from your background, it's very hard for them to accept something that's the fact that God finds them. But anybody that confesses Jesus as Lord and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, that person certainly is a Christian, but they must, of course, understand that God is the one that brought him to that realization. And he gets the credit, according to Ephesians here. It all goes, all the glory, all the honor, all the praise goes to Christ. And that's all good news, because nothing, nothing depends upon you. And that's why you can be sure that you're going to heaven. Because if anything, even a little bit, depended upon anything that you would do, there would always be some doubt.
Well, there would be hell.
No, well, yeah, but there would be doubt.
Any of it, if I'm responsible for any of it, all I can bring is filthy rags.
That's right.
And that is the penalty for that is hell, is it not?
That is right. That is absolutely correct.
505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Linda's calling. Hi, you're on the Bible study. Good morning.
Hi, Chuck. Hi, Pastor.
Good morning.
Pastor, I think you probably remember how hard-headed I was. I would call in. This is going back a lot of years. But...
Sure. No, I don't remember how hard-headed you were. Now, wait a minute. I remember you calling in, but you weren't hard-headed. Of course not.
Oh, I was. I could not get this through my head, but finally, you were so patient, and I finally got it. I gave you credit here on earth.
Linda, when you say that it took a long time, but you finally got into your head, how long? Do you remember, roughly?
Probably years. I don't know, Pat. But when I finally saw what he was saying, you know, I was trying to help him. But anyway, this is so beautiful. I mean, and what I was calling about, too, what is wonderful in this chapter, how often you find, you know, the words in him, in Christ, in the beloved, in whom. And, you know, no less than 8 times Paul is referring to our location. You know, it's not about what we have done or how we do it, anything. It's where we're located. And because the promises, you know, even our being chosen is in him. And the promises are made to Christ. And because we are in Christ, we are chosen. But just like this morning, I was thinking, you know, some people think it's a big deal of your posture. I was driving to work praying, and I thought, my posture, I can pray, I can come boldly, not because of my posture. I can pray because of where I'm located. You know, I'm located in Christ. And I think it's so beautiful that we can get our eyes off ourselves and in on the beloved, you know, in him.
Beautiful comments.
Thank you, Pastor, for helping me understand that.
Well, the Holy Spirit does that, but thank you. Yeah.
But he used to.
Thank you.
Pastor Hawkinson, help me out here, because I'm just going to reveal my heart to you. I mean, I've been struggling to live the Christian life and walk the Christian walk and be an example of the Christian ethic for years, and I mean, it's worn me down, and here's Linda calling in, who says she finally saw it, and all you got to do is listen to her, and you can tell she's so happy. She's always all so full of joy. I want that. How come I can't find it? Where is it? How do I get what she has?
Well, the answer is you can have what she has, and you do have what she has, of course. I know, but you're representing what you think. You know, there are people tuned
in. I'm representing who I was 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
I mean,
well,
I know what this feels like.
Let's put it this way. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation." You go to the Word of God, you get the gospel, you get the power, and when that power enters your heart, it is that power that changes your mind. Paul talks about the mind being renewed when he talked to the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 12. we get a new mind. And when you get that new mind, you get a new understanding. And that new understanding frees you up. You know, in the Gospel of John, it says that the one who is in Christ is free indeed. Not just free, but free indeed. Really free. No strings attached. So it's a matter of truly God working this in you, Chuck. And God can and will do that as you examine that word and ask the Holy Spirit through the word to free you up and to cause you to realize that despite the filthy rags of your sin and the filthy rags of my sin, nevertheless, it says right here, right here in Ephesians, that it is the blood of Christ. It's the blood that provides the forgiveness of sins. And your sins are forgiven. Mine are too. And that is what frees you and me up to live not by the law, not by climbing the mountain. Now, that's what you talked about. Excellent illustration. Excellent. Because that's where many people are today. But I say, and God says, through Holy Scripture, that Jesus has already come down the mountain, and he's the one that brings you up and has already, according to Ephesians, has already done this for you. It's all purely by his grace. Hey, have you ever gotten a message on your answering machine, Chuck, saying that you've won some kind of stupendous thing? I don't know. For example, on my church answering machine, I was sharing this with a Bible class. It said that I had won a new Mercedes. That's exactly that's what the message said. And all I had to do was call this toll-free number. Well, obviously, Chuck, I knew there's no way that I had won a new Mercedes. This is one of those scams. So I thought, well, just for the fun of it, I'd call the toll-free number. So I did. And they said, yes, you're one of the ones that has won an opportunity to win. And I said, but that's not what the message says. The message says, well, you know, sir, it's marketing, you know, it's just our marketing.
Just lying.
It's just lying.
We have to lie to you to get you to call. So we did.
Yeah. And so nevertheless, so people think that there's a catch. There's a catch. They apply that to their spiritual life. There's got to be a catch. This can't be free, but it is.
Let's read on here, beginning at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We don't have enough time.
No.
As you said, we could talk about just the first 14 verses for the rest of the day. We don't have enough time to do this justice, but let's come at it from this perspective. Those who want to temporalize this chapter, in other words, try to interpret it for what it means in time and space for me today, or those who want to use this to somehow access the power that's described here so I can improve my life. And they're not really thinking about before the creation of the world or the eternity that we all face eventually. Can you drag me from my little temporal three-dimensional box into which I try to stuff the majesty of Ephesians 1 and spread it out from the beginning to the end of time in eternity?
Well, if you look at Paul's words that you may know him better already, that's eternal ramifications immediately. Because your life, Chuck, on this earth is not all about St. Louis, Missouri, or Edwardsville, Illinois, where you live. It's not all about your wife. It's not all about your family. Your life is all about Christ. My life is all about Christ, and everything that you are and everything that you have everything that I have. You talk about expanding the panorama. Yeah. What expands it is those enlightened eyes that see everything as being part of God's eternal purpose, not just right here, right now. This is part of it, but this isn't all of it. Your whole life is all about Christ, all about getting out, being a member of His church, and getting out the good news about Jesus. And when it talks about power, no, I agree with you. This isn't all about power to improve your life or to somehow make it more moral or more better. That's a byproduct of being in Christ, but it's not all about trying to make one's life more moral or more better, if you'll excuse the poor grammar there. It's all about when you are in Christ, you want to be that way. You see everything from the vantage point of heaven, because I love this last verse. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title. So the buck stops not with Harry Truman. Remember the old phrase. The buck stops with Christ. And nobody is above Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any higher than that. So to me, that is so exciting to know that the one who rules the universe is as high as anybody can go. And yet you and I have the privilege of talking to him.
I think that Linda and I have something in common, as I have described it here this morning, in saying that even though I had read Ephesians, even though I was studying the Bible, even though I was having that experience, I still didn't understand some of these fundamental things for a long time. And she said the same thing, that there was a period of time where she didn't see it. And you, on the radio here, one of the people in her life who helped her finally see it, which brought the kind of joy that I think we could hear in her voice. Paul says here, speaking to the Ephesians, I keep asking, which is different than I asked, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And that's really what we want, Pastor.
Exactly.
Because if I understand this correctly, I mean, coming here out of Galatians into Ephesians, I was baptized when I was a baby. And that mark that was talked about here in Ephesians 1, I'm not sure I can find that right off the top of my head here, but it says that we were marked. That mark was placed on me as a baby. So that activity that God is doing, we're not going up the mountain, but God came down the mountain to mark me on that occasion and call me his own. Right?
That's right. That's verse 13. That's where that is.
That's
right.
Already done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's taken care of.
And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. That's already done. What remains is for me to receive the gift of wisdom from the Spirit and the gift of revelation so that I may know him better.
And so, that includes the freedom that Linda was talking about and that you've been talking about as well.
So, how does that happen? Do you expect to know him better 5 years from now than you know him today?
I pray I do.
You pray you do.
I pray I do. Yes, it's a never-ending process. St. Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith. Living by faith is exciting. If you have lots of resources in the bank, and you are very well off. Sometimes it's hard to recognize what it's like to live by faith. But when you don't know what's going to happen the next minute or where you're going to get the next buck, you live by faith. It's pretty exciting, and it can be a very, very happy.
You sound like a prosperity preacher.
Well, not really. I'm just saying, basically, the prosperity is all in Christ. Let's get me out of this one, Chuck. I didn't mean to sound like a prosperity. Oh, no,
well,
anything.
But this is an important point, because what you were saying and what you were meaning sounds just like what the prosperity preacher says, but he means something entirely different.
Correct.
Because he's going to go to the bottom of Ephesians 1, and he's going to say, you take this power and you obtain from God the things that you want. That's what the prosperity preacher says. And I know that's not what you're saying.
No,
you're talking about something different. But now, remember, we're talking to people who have a prosperity obstacle because they've been watching prosperity preachers on the television, listening to them on the radio. And so they're a little confused by what you said there, so we got to stop and get a clarification.
Yeah, and the prosperity preacher will say, well, and then if you don't get what you want, you don't have enough faith. Very dangerous thing to say. Very, very incorrect, incorrect thing to say, because God gives the faith to believe in Christ. And what this says here about the power, this means that Christ's power through his word gives you the ability to live your life out every day, including fighting the battles you have with the devil, the battles you have with your flesh, and being able to succeed, to run the race of faith that the Apostle Paul talks about and do it successfully, drawing from the power that God himself, the spiritual Gatorade, that's what it is, this kind of spiritual Gatorade that enables you to continue on in the race of faith. And God blesses people differently. God blesses family A with $100,000 a year, blesses family B with $30,000 a year, but he doesn't love the one more than the other. This is all part of his eternal purpose, the true prosperity happens in Christ and carrying out his will and sharing the gospel and being his servant. That's what it's all about.
In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Let's take a phone call from Ida. Hi, good morning. You're on the Bible study.
Good morning. It's a very interesting program. I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Thank you.
Good morning, Ida.
Good morning. And it is a glorious walk with God. I just want to say something about the freedom. It says that I and ask the pastor to explain this. Or it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And after that, does it say, if you continue in my word? That's just, I don't have my Bible before me, but I was just thinking as the pastor was talking.
Right. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yes.
Right, right.
So that on our journey in life, if we continue in his word, each day more wisdom and knowledge will be unfolded unto we as believers. Is that right?
Well, that's true. You do get wisdom and knowledge as you continue in the word of God. Your eyes will continue to be enlightened. Exactly.
And we will be free from many things that we have been held in bondage to.
That is correct. That's right. The shackles of worry and all the other things, all the other baggage.
Will drop off from us each day as we journey on. And then it gives us that we have that assurance, and victory is already won, and we just have that assurance. There's so much. It is just a good walk with God. That's all I wanted to say. Right. God bless, and you continue on.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Ida.
Right.
Any reactions, Pastor?
Yeah, I think Ida is representing just the Christian who struggles from day to day. Because the flesh does not want to get into the Word of God. The flesh doesn't want to come to church. The flesh doesn't want to do anything of a spiritual nature. But the promise very simply is this. If you continue, Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, you are truly my disciples. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free from all of the things that try to keep you from God, from all of the shackles that try to hold you back, free from all those things.
She's
absolutely right.
Here's the thing that we're free from. And at first glance, well, maybe we're not all that impressed by it because we don't think about it very often. Here's what you're free from. You're free from death. That is the thing. That is the final judgment.
Oh, sure. Right.
After which there is no change. There are no opportunities. To know, as we live today, that when we die, we gain, as opposed to being sent into eternal damnation. Now, there is freedom in that, brother.
You better believe it. You better believe it. Yeah, just to know that's part of God's eternal purpose, obviously. And truthfully, I mean, he wants you in heaven, and he's looking forward to having you in heaven. It's a matter of getting into the Word of God to be reassured that you're going there. And every time you do, you get power for the race of life, and you can run a little bit farther. You don't get into the Word of God. You don't come to church. You don't partake of the sacraments. Then you'll lose out. You get weak.
I think that we see this lived out in some of the older saints among us, and it's probably to our shame, those of us who are middle-aged or younger, that we don't listen to the older saints among us a little bit more, that we don't sit at their feet. Because I think when you're younger, and you want the things that you want now, and you want the things of the Word of God now, You want the wisdom that is promised here in verse 17 in the Revelation now. And then you talk to somebody who's older, who has walked that long walk in life with God and seen how God worked his will out in their lives over decades as opposed to months. I think there's some evidence there that perhaps we could all benefit from by listening to those older saints.
There is. We should listen, because that the wisdom that they have gained over the years, my goodness, they're close to heaven. They're getting very close. And the job of a pastor is to get people ready for heaven. That's what it comes down to. Get them ready for heaven. Well, by faith in Jesus Christ, keeping them in the church, keeping them close to the Lord. That's what it's all about. And getting at the feet of people who have already struggled for decades is to gain wisdom from them so that we can give it to others.
We have 2 minutes left. I would like to ask you to restate, take one more run at this, because I think it's so important. For the person who is listening to us today, who thinks that their Christianity is a moral structure, it is a definition of right and wrong, the so-called Judeo-Christian ethic, which, if they practice with some level of success, will get them to heaven. What is Ephesians 1? What does Paul have to say today?
Well, Jesus has already practiced with a complete level of success, totally, in his active obedience by keeping the laws without a mistake, without a sin. So he's done that for us. And through his passive obedience, Chuck, he died on the cross to take away every time that we have made an attempt to add to what Christ has done for us. That, of course, is sin, because God has already done it all. He forgives us for those times that we make those attempts. And he promises that to give us the faith to believe that salvation is completely free, no strings attached. Jesus is the one who came down from the mountain. We don't climb up. He's done the climbing for us, and he's taken away the sins of the times that we've attempted to make those climbs, and has promised that, as you say, death, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the power of sin is law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we have it. It's through Christ and him alone.
And that's why, when you listen to Linda, when she calls, and she giggles, and she is so happy, that's why she's so happy, because she sees it. She doesn't have to worry about the baggage of her life, the shortcomings,
right.
Even the very best of her works, or your works, or my works, are not going to keep us out of heaven because of Christ.
Absolutely. Well stated. Thanks very much.
That's Pastor Mark Hawkinson. I knew it would be fun talking about
it.
Ephesians chapter 1.
Lots
I hope
of
we
fun.
I hope we got over some predispositions and some obstacles for some people today. Ephesians 2, 1 verses 10 with Pastor Warren Worth next time.
Listen to Chuck Ratherton and guest Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. You can contact us on the Internet at kfuo.org. For a cassette copy of the Bible Study, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. The Bible Study is a broadcast service of the Jubilee Network.